Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, I'm Ramona. We are getting ready to start with our program on tonight, and I'm waiting for my guests to come online with me. Thank you all for joining in. I'm your host for tonight, Mr. Sylvia Kaiser. I have a guest speaker that is going to be with me on the program tonight. It is going to be my great niece, Alexandria Harris. I'm excited to have her on because I would like for her to share some information with us that I got a wind of the other day, and I'm sure a lot of people are probably aware of the new laws that's coming up, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are not aware. And we know that a lot of times we fall into situations and we fall into predicaments because we are not aware of the laws. We're keeping up with TikTok, and we're keeping up with any and everything else that goes on, but we're not keeping up with the laws of the land. And that's when we get caught up in situations where we act like we don't know, or we just don't know. But when you end up in court, the first thing the judge says is, ignorance is not a device. Ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not going to go well in this situation because you didn't know. You know, I know growing up, I heard people used to say, if you wanted a certain race of people to know something, you put it out there, you write books and everything. But if it's something you don't want them to know, you put it in a book because they're not going to read it. And a lot of times we perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, but the Word of God says that the people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of things have come upon us due to the lack of knowledge. I remember a song years ago that said, smiling faces shows no traces of the evil that lurks within. So you all have to understand that there's more ways, as old folks used to say, to skin a cat. There's more ways to go back to the old time, because a lot of times people will say, well, you know, if you don't want this to happen and you don't want that to happen, but what they fail to help you realize is that if I make $50,000, or just say 40, we're just going to go as low as, we're going to say $30,000 a year, and you make $70,000, $80,000 or more a year, your taxes, or we could even say your union dues, should be more than what I pay. But when they say that yours is going up because you're at a line of pay, which the average, like I say, job or government I've talked to, they look at the average pay starting at $50,000 a year. If you're making under that, you won't be devastated so much with payment as the ones that make over. So if they don't want something passed, they speak to the ones that make the less, and they get them to vote the way they vote, and the ones that make the less pays more, and the ones that make the more continue to pay less. I hope you caught that and you got that. So, again, I'm going to check to make sure I sent out my invite to my niece, and I'm just waiting, again, like I said, waiting on her to come up on the line. So anybody that's looking, greetings, have you called her in Blog Talk? She has a problem with Facebook. I'm going to have to call her, but if I call her on Blog Talk, I don't want to kick the phone off. Alexandra says she's here, but you did you accept my invite? She says she can't join. Okay, then I need you to call this number, Alexander. 310, I'm going to put it on the, I'm going to put it out here so you can look at it. Call this number so we can talk and we will be able to share with the people what we're trying to conversate about tonight. And I thank you so much for taking time out to be a part of my program, because I want everyone to know that, you know, a lot of times when you're ministering to someone, it isn't always one way. Don't get me wrong. Anything and everything I do or try to say from this point in my life is going to have the Word of God in it, and it's going to have information about the Word of God. Like I said, you can read it for yourself in Hosea 4 and 6 and say, "For my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." Cecilia says, "Greetings. You are trying via messenger or an event." I don't know what Alex is trying, but I'm hoping she called me on the blog talk line, which Cecilia can possibly let can release your line. You can let me know when you're on the line. Okay, you saying you're on my video, but I sent you a invite for to come on, and I don't know why it's not allowing you to come on, but it's it shows that I sent you the invite. So I'm gonna try one more thing. It says you can join me, but I'm not knowing why you can't join me. I sent the invite through Facebook, through the emoji at the bottom that shows where you can send for a guest, invite a guest on. But Alex can come on my page and request to join me if she would like to do that, and we can get into the program. So while we're waiting on that to happen, it's like, I'm not for sure exactly where it's at on the live, but you can go in and say, like when you're looking at where it says when you join in on the video, you could probably go through your little pieces at the bottom and put in a request, because I'm trying to get you on the line. But we're going to pray and just ask God to open up the lines and don't give the enemy any victory in this situation, because we know that if he could, he would love to. Hold that, please. Hello?
Press the, go on your page and click on the double dot.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Possibly like told me to go on my page. She kicked me off. I'm back on. So I'm trying to go on here to get Alexa, yeah, on the
instead Minister Sylvia, not you, have her go on your page and click on your triple dot, not you. Have her
okay.
Do it.
Alex, go on my page and click on the triple dots and see if you can put in an invite. We just want to make sure that we get this this information out tonight, because it's very important that we put this out here, because a lot of times we don't know how to get information, especially if we're not trying to look for it. So as we're talking, I'm going to try to do something else to try to get my niece on the line. It shows me that she's watching, but I need her to become a part of my life. So I just pray, God, open it up open up the program where we can make contact to do what we know that you have for us to do on tonight to get this information out to the people, because I'm just looking at everything that's going on with the enemy is trying to fight us and keep us from touching bases. That's one thing I do know. He don't want us to touch bases. But I know that God will get the victory. So if anybody is looking in, just know that we're trying to to get information over to you about the new laws they're trying to pass come the beginning of 2023. And one thing I do know is they don't want this to come out. They don't want this to be seen. Okay, she said she just sent me a request to join. All right, Alex, I'm going to forward. I'm going to accept it. I'm approving it. I don't know why it won't let me add you as a guest. It's just the enemy trying so hard to keep us from contacting. We're waiting. I approved it, but it's still trying to close up trying to keep my line open. So I'm just trusting God. He's going to open this up. He's going to open this up so that we can go on with this program, because I don't have a lot of information concerning the law. I just know a little bit of what I heard, that they were saying that if you get arrested, certain things you won't be able to do, like these no I-bonds and different little things like that. So I'm really trying to see what's that all about. How can we get this information out? Because I know people are talking and people are looking and listening. So, I'm just saying, okay, God. I know that she did send me a request. I okayed it. It's still showing that the request is open. But let's call it a talk anyway. So, Alex, I don't know why I won't let you come in, and it's kind of refusing to let me open it up to you. As when you sent the request to me to join on film, well, on the Facebook, I approved it, and I asked for it to open up, but it won't. So let's just keep on going. We know one thing we do know is that the enemy tried to get involved, and he tried to get stuff off where you can't get. You say, I'm just, right, just call in, because it's a way around it. So it's a way around it. We ain't got to go keep going through this. Just call in on that number I put on there, and we definitely will have you on audio if we can't get you on video. So just call in. Because I'm still trying to study work on this while I'm trying to wait for you to come in. So I even refreshed.
I'm here. Face. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all again for joining in. Thank you for holding on for 14 minutes. But God is going to get the glory out of this. This is my niece, great niece, Alexander Harris. If there's anyone on the line, this is a digital recording, and it records everything that's in the background. So I'm going to let my niece introduce herself to you, as well as I'm going to allow her to tell you what the program is about. and what we're talking about on tonight, and how she is going to be a part of our program and what she's going to bring the information for. So, Alexandra, go on and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay, well, I'm sorry because I'm still trying to work on getting on because I'm not going to lie, this is weird doing it through the phone and I'm watching you. So my name is Alexandra Harris. I am from Chicago, Illinois. I currently live in Miami, Florida. I worked at the Juvenile Detention Center for 6 years. I also worked at Lawrence Hall School for Girls and Boys. So I'm very familiar with working with at-risk youth in the Black community. So that's my life's work. And currently here in Miami, I still do the same thing. I work with youth in the Little Haiti and North Miami area. So I definitely get to see it all as far as what's going on in our community from our young boys. A lot of times we're like blaming the teenagers. But I'm really starting to see too is it's gotten so out of control for so long. You probably have 12-year-olds now hanging out with 25 and 30-year-olds. So the problem is being neglected for so long that you kind of just got a community of kids running around, regardless of the age that they are. You got adults and kids' bodies, kids and adults' bodies, running around and just wreaking havoc. You know, when kids are not watched or guided, that's what happens. They try things. They get into stuff. And so even when you have adults in that kid mindset and those people that are the adults, we're studying saying they are the ones that need to lead the younger generation, but they still kids themselves and for the women too. You know, it's on both sides from what I see. You just got a community going haywire. So I like to try to get out there and be part of helping. I am big. I know people say resources. I'm really big on, doing clothing drives, food drives. I'm definitely big on helping. But you can give. You can give money. You can give clothes. You can give food. But you have to be able to give a person a mindset too. And until you can do that, no matter what you give them, you can give them $1 million. But if their mindset is not corrected, that money isn't going to help them. So, yeah.
That's true. That is so true because a lot of times, the only information people get is what they hear. Because a lot of times some of them don't want to tell you they can't read or they have a problem with reading. They're not going to pick nothing up and read it. They're going to just go by what they hear. And everything. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Did I join?
I got a bad echo. They can't see you on Facebook because talking to you on the phone, my Facebook posting has stopped.
Oh, so this is not on your Facebook Live?
No, this is a message. You got to go on my Facebook Live on Sylvia Kaiser.
Okay, I'll try. Okay, it's not working. Okay.
All right. Go back to the phone. Okay. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry for that. There was an interruption. My niece was trying to get in with me, but she couldn't get in through the Facebook Live. She is with the posting far as, we do Blog Talk and Facebook Live at the same time. And with that going on, we're trying to make sure that we keep it going with opening up the line so that she can communicate back with us. So, Alex, if you want to finish saying what you were saying.
Oh, no, that's all I really have to say so far about, what's going on and how I've been involved. I would say it takes more people to be involved, but I don't even know at this point. It's so confusing. I like to not you know, give up on my people or whatever, but the type of togetherness we're going to need, I don't know. It's, like I said, it's going to be past resources. It's going to be past handouts. It's going to be past just, you know, backpacking somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's going to really take a real gathering. I don't know if the churches could start, like, mentor groups. But like I said, like, we so far out of hand with the mentor. It's not just the kids that need mentoring. We can't really help grown people. I think after, like, a certain age, I think we got to kind of let you go. I don't really know. I know we can save children. I don't know. I mean, this is something we all got to chime in on because, like everybody else, I'm at loss for words. I just seen people try so much stuff, and it seems like we always be back at square one.
Okay, the law that's going to be passed that they're trying to pass in January, to my knowledge, what is it called? I know some is calling it the Purge Law. Some are calling it the Wild Wild West or the Midwest. Some is called the Safety Act. What exactly is this law that we should be concerned about come January 2023?
Let me look it up because people were sending it to me. And I had did some research on it, but by me not living there anymore, I can't quite remember all that. Let me see. It is time.
Yeah, because they're saying it's going to be passed in Chicago. I guess this is going to be the, testing grounds or the place where the pilot city, state or whatever. So I'm not really for sure, but I'm just trying to make sure we get this word out so people will understand what is some of the laws that's in there. I know on the news they were saying that there's like certain crimes, no matter what they are, you can't make cash bail, you can't do certain things, you know. So I'm just trying to get information myself so that if people have
the
any
exact
questions,
name of it. I do know about what's going on with it. I don't know the exact name of it. Let me see.
Well, if people have any questions, that's on Facebook, please type it in on the screen so that we could address it. If people have anything they would like to add to it, please. So Apostle Elect put on there, on January 1st, 2023, it is estimated.
Oh, it's called the Pretrial Fairness Act.
Okay, the Pretrial
Fairness Act.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, because she put on there, more than half of the inmates in Winnebago County Jail will walk out the door. I'm going to have to see tonight. She said, let me walk out the door. Approximately 400 criminals defended will be released back into our communities because our Illinois legislation passed the Safety Act back in 2020. So could you give us some of the information you have on that?
Yeah, so from what I've read, I know, like, trespassing, you can get a ticket for that. So let's just say you come home to your house and it's like just somebody cohabitating in your garage or a squat. That you can call the police, but they can't forcibly put handcuffs on them and take them out. They can give them a ticket. I know second degree murder is on there, kidnapping, aggravated battery, arson, residential burglary, robbery. They even saying predatory criminal sexual assault. You won't have to pay a bail no more. So what they said they're trying to do is if a lot of minorities in jail, you know how they say you're guilty until proven innocent, but then people still sit in jail until they're, like, proven. They said that's not right. You're really supposed to be literally free, and then they're supposed to be kind of trying to gather evidence on you to see if you need to be locked up. But, you know, they stopped doing that, I'm pretty sure, years ago, because they saw, okay, that's not going to work. You know, people going to flee. I saw one police officer even mention, because some of the crimes, I think, like, for maybe a robbery or a sexual assault or burglary, they have within 48 hours to gather that evidence to see if you need to be arrested. But with that being said, the cop said 48 hours, a person can be in Alaska by then. So
correct.
Even you let these people out until they're proven, you know, guilty or whatever, proven innocent, it's just like you get. So now after that, you say, let's say you prove them, you say they're guilty, and they're supposed to come back up to court to see, you know, what did y'all decide? Are you going to detain me or not? Now, you know, most of these people are not going to come back. So now you're going to have a whole bunch of people on the run. They're going to have warrants for their arrest. To me, it's just a big waste of time. But I can say this. So they made this law supposedly because it's more black and Hispanic men locked up. And they say that's not fair. And, you know, black people for the longest been complaining that they getting down on us and, you know, they don't give us a chance. Y'all need to free my cousin, free Pookie. So now they freeing them. And now everybody's scared. So, you know, but this is what people have literally been asking for, though. I know this because I work, like I said, I was working in the juvenile detention center for a while. I've been around cops, all of that type of stuff. So it's like, this is what people ask for. Yeah, you come over to the neighborhood. I was dating a cop while I was there previously, and he was just saying, like, it's so hard to do his job now. He said, you know, I go into the neighborhood, and people are just pulling out their camera phones. They're trying to tape everything. Like, so the cops are being held more accountable than the little people in the community are. And
that's true.
I know
that's
that
true.
When I was there, I go down Madison and Pulaski. There are people out there literally selling drugs in front of the police. At one point, you know, the police probably might say, so, I mean, they don't even try to hide it anymore. But the police, like, slowly have been getting stripped of their power. But people ask for it. When everybody's saying defund the police? So just like, it's kind of like people have been kind of asking for this. So now we're just going to see how it goes. So nobody to me really can get mad because people have been asking for this. This is what you asked for. So now they starting with Chicago, though, which is a city, one of the main cities that asked for it. Remember, we saw a downtown war. Remember? Two things.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You said if somebody is in your garage and they're slumming in your house or whatever, all they can do is give them a ticket.
They
can't arrest them.
Give them a ticket.
So they can't arrest them.
They cannot arrest them.
What I heard the police officer say is that they can't arrest them. You have to decide how you're going to get rid of them, but you have to do it within the law. So they can move into your property. They can get in your car. They can do anything they want. You can't do nothing to them without it being within the law, because if you bodily, physically harm them, you would get charged quicker than they would, and they were violating you. Because
they said it's left up to you to decide the force to be used, but a lot of citizens don't know the law. So how do we know what force to try to use?
Right. And they keep changing and adding to it. And now you're saying because we asked for them to be defunded and we asked for them to be taking this away from them and that away from them. So, in other words, I'm just going to say Chicago because this is where I live. The Chicago Police Department is basically going to become like the mall cops.
Basically,
you know, like,
I was so shocked when I read it. I even called some cops back at home to ask them, was it true? Because I found out, you know, you want to believe anything you see on social media.
Right.
And he was like, Alex, and he said it's true. He said, we so used to it now. He said, it's true. He said, yep.
So with this going on, so this was granted back in 2020. And it's going to come into effect in 2023. So is it nothing that we as a people, as a community, can do to get this law reversed or turned around or put more in depth? Is it something that we could do as a people? Because, like I say, the Word of God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lot of times we ask for things but we don't really look at exactly what we're asking for.
Wait, say that one more time, that last part.
We ask for things that we don't exactly know what we're asking for, but as a people in these different communities, is there anywhere, anybody in the government that we could call or write or protest to about having this law modified or changed or even revoked?
That's what I think, too. I think that a lot of the same people that we are worrying about being let out and terrorizing us, I think are our own people. Like, it's our cousins, it's some of our brothers, it's some of our sons. This wouldn't even be, I mean, even if we go to these lawmakers or whatever, okay, they lock them up, whatever. I don't know. We'll probably have to do, what we're going to do, march? They don't care about that. It's from the lack of accountability, because don't nobody want to hold their son accountable. Your son out here on the corner raising 18 double hockey sticks. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, these girls be setting up people, too. It's the women now, too. You know, you let these people at the end of the night. When they said it again?
The girls are rougher than, the females are rougher than the men.
Yeah, so you know, but you, these are people's kids, these are people's grandkids and stuff, and they love them. And so they know these young people out there doing, and they let them come back and have, most of these people that are out here doing those crimes, they're not going home to their own property. You know what I'm saying? They're not homeowners. Mm-hmm. They're not probably renting an apartment. They live with somebody. And so a lot of times we have these murders in the community, or like all these babies getting shot because, you know, people out there recklessly shooting. You know the type of kids you got in your house. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you know everything your kid do, but you kind of got some idea. So that would mean that people have to tell on their boyfriend. You probably have to turn your son in. You have to turn your grandson in. You have to kick your daughter out. It's a lot of accountability amongst each other that we would have to do, and we don't want to do that.
That's true.
To me, we worried about the same people that live next door to us. So instead of holding them accountable, it's like a dog chasing its tail. Like, you can't. I don't think we know what we're asking for. But if they did come up with a solution, it's going to be accountability. Okay, so, like, I know Lori Lightfoot, everybody gives her crap. When I worked at the juvenile center, she tried to present a law where, you know, since there's so many young people out here doing these crimes, people's teenage kids, she was going to hold parents accountable. Like, you get fined, or you end up, you know, going to jail or whatever. You get your Section 8 took. Like, they was going to hold the parents accountable, but whatever happened with that, they end up telling her that was unconstitutional and she couldn't do that. So you get what I'm saying? Like, I agree with that. You know, kind of I do, because I see the kids that come in and out the juvenile center. I hear about the heinous crimes that they do. You know, people be surprised when I tell them, it's teenage boys out here raping people. They like, kids rape people? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They shoot people like these are kids. And so you know what your son and daughter doing. These kids be outside in Chicago, especially. It used to just be West Side. You know, we'd be outside late over there.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4 in the morning. I couldn't be out that late when I was thinking, you know, like you just can't. Now, we're going to go march for what? We're going to go ask, you know, send these officials to fix our households, basically? Because that's what it's boiling down to. We point so many fingers at everybody else, but what about what we're not doing?
Yeah, that's why they're trying to make all these laws to, it's like a genocide. They're trying to take away this and trying to take away that, telling us we can't do this, we can't do that. But at the same time, we're not wanting to be accountable, like you say, for our children. Because I remember growing up, we had this neighbor, and she had this son that the things he would do, and she would say in a minute, my son didn't do that, my son didn't do this, knowing he did do it. He did do it. He was a problem in the neighborhood. He was everything. But until he finally got whooped and got whooped by a girl that embarrassed him, he wouldn't stop. You know, but like I said, that's back in my day. But nowadays it's that everybody is afraid to help Everybody's afraid to stop and ask questions. Everybody's afraid to get involved because they don't know how people would react, you know, because everything is about don't be in my business. You know, the Word of God teaches not to covet thy neighbor's house or handmaid or anything, but yet it's still, we don't want to work for nothing, but we want to take everything that we want. We feel that, especially how they say this millennium, this new generation, this Generation XZ, they feel that they're obligated. They don't want to work hard for anything, but whatever you work hard for, they feel that they could just walk up to it, take it from you, or if they walk up to you, you're just supposed to give it to them. So as a resident of Chicago, as a parent, as a citizen, as a human being, I'm asking, what is it that our community could do to address these things? Because if it's going to get back like the OK Corral, where everybody's carrying a gun, whether they got a card to say they could do it or not, it's going to be horrible. Where it seems like everything in America now is geared towards building these 23 hours a day lockdown facilities. I mean, that's just how I'm seeing it. I mean, am I right, or do you see it any other way?
You mean, like, do I see any other way that they're trying to set this up so they can build these lockdown facilities?
Yeah,
like for money,
saying.
Like they're doing it for.
Yeah, do you know how much one inmate would cost a year?
I used to say that they were, you know, doing this, or they build prisons to, you know, lock Black and Hispanic men up. But after working in a jail system, the criminal justice system in many cases gives a lot of chances. Have you? And I know people, like, we see TV, so you see those movies where, you know, somewhere this man stole a loaf of bread in 1942, he got locked up for 80 years. Yeah, we do have extreme circumstances like that a lot, but I don't even say a lot. That's what a rap sheet is. Y'all know what a rap sheet is? A person have a rap sheet. If you go and look on some of y'all kinfolk or whoever's, like, rap sheet, that is nothing but the amount of chances that you have had. Some people got 25, 30 chances since they start getting locked up as a juvenile. So by the time they throw the book at you, do you know how many chances they have literally given a lot of these people? I think people forget about that. They give you, and then I can say too, they do bring people into the jails. One thing that really just opened my eyes there, at the juvenile center, they were bringing Black judges. One time they brought the food of Islam in. They do have the church coming. What's that? Father Flagler comes up there talking to the kids and stuff. They bring in Black police officers. They brought in Black FBI agents, all types of people, you know, to really just motivate these Black boys. And, like, one day when the police officers and a Black lawyer came in, they told them you could ask them any question you want to as far as, like, you know, how do I handle myself if I'm pulled over, or what should I do in this case? Anything about your case, whatever. Do you know these kids sit up there and ask them, what type of gun is it? How many guns you got at home? How many people you done shot? That's what it is. I got this on my gun. Nobody asked any educational questions. Like, a lady came up there with a great program. This is juvenile center now. Came up there with a great program where they would give, if you stayed in school for the year, you would go to this program probably once a week on the weekends. They would take you to different places in Chicago, like neighborhoods. You know, so many fascinating neighborhoods there, out to eat. Right. So kids can explore the city. Chicago was a great, great city to explore.
Yes, it is.
I was even in a program like that. Once you completed that program at the end of the year, do you know they would offer you a two, and they were getting paid to do this, to go to these little restaurants, by the way. They were going to give them a two-week paid trip to South Africa. Do you know kids? I was excited for them because, you know, I love traveling. Do you know them kids nobody went up there signed up for? I talked to my boys. I said, why y'all ain't going up there take advantage of that? They was like, Miss Harris, I don't want to go to no Africa. I don't want to see nobody dancing around in no dirt. And that just let me know, like, people didn't call me, like, can you help my kid? Can I bring them up to the juvenile center so y'all can help them? That stuff starts at home. Implant a mindset in your children starts at the house.
That's
because
it.
Once they get there, I mean, I'm there to correct their behavior, make sure they're not in there trying to, you know, have sex with each other, beat each other up, which that just beating up happens. But, you know, we didn't watch them, they do the other thing, too. But I'm there for safety reasons. You got to do this stuff with your kid and grow their brain. Like, that's what being a parent is for. Not for you to depend on an institution like a school, a juvenile detention center, a camp, to do any of that. And a lot of people in the black neighborhood, I can say a lot of people, but in them certain patches of them hood areas, they think that. Like, being institutionalized far away before you hit a jail, if your parents is not really grooming you to be a decent human being, you just think the school and the teacher going to groom them? No, that don't work like that. It don't work like that. So, I think we have to come up with community-based stuff. These churches need to bring, it's a black church on every corner. It's no reason for the community to be like that. Black people tab more than they put in their savings account. So, something needs to go on. Seriously.
I want to say something. I know one thing it is a lot of it is peer pressure. Don't nobody want to seem like they want something because they're scared of what their peers going to think of them. You know, they used to always teach us, don't dumb yourself down just to be with a certain person, whether it was a guy trying to be with a girl or a girl trying to be with a guy. Don't dumb yourself down. And one thing I found out, too, dealing with the COVID. When the COVID hit, it was a chance for the world to really find out exactly what my baby, my Pookie, my little princesses and my little Barbies, they was doing. And a lot of parents didn't want to deal with their own children because, like you say, they knew what their children were and are doing. But when they had to become responsible, look at what started happening with the mob squads and all that stuff downtown and these stores and everything else. As long as get them out of my hair. I understand people have to work. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. I'm not talking about parents that's trying to be responsible and set up a responsible lifestyle, a living a responsible lifestyle. I'm trying to get the right word to say. I'm trying to make sure that people will understand. As Alex was saying, there are options out here, but we have to teach them while they're young. If you don't start teaching your kid that they could be a doctor, that's one thing I love about my sister. She speaks that thing into our nieces and nephews and the grandkids' life. She don't call them by their name. She finds out what they want to be and she put in front of their name. If they want to be a doctor, she calls them Dr. I'm just going to say Merritt or a Dr. Harris. If she finds out they want to be a lawyer, a judge, she would call them Your Honorable Judge Wright. She calls them by the names they say they want to be because she's planting a seed in their lives to tell them what they want to be. But if everything is about a quick dollar, a quick fix, you know how I used to say shake your money maker? Go out there and make that money, baby. Don't let the money make you. You know, if we have to learn how to change our conversation because a lot of parents don't realize what their children doing, and they don't have a problem with it until they do it to them. You know what I'm saying? You think it's cute when your daughter getting sassy and telling you, you tell her somebody this and tell her somebody that until they start getting in your business and checking you, or you think your son is okay for him to call you bees and all this and that, but until he start calling you this and that, then all of a sudden you want to be mama, but at first, or daddy, but at first you was being his buddy or you was being their friend. Know that once a person gets older and grown, you got all the time in the world to be your child's friend. But when you're trying to raise them, teach them, and train them, the Word of God says train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they get older, they won't depart from it. That means even education. That means respect. That's a whole lot of not just following God, following his word, but to understand there's rules to life. even from the beginning of time, God taught Adam there was rules to the garden. You can eat of every tree. You can eat of everything, but not that one. There's rules. And until we put into our children's head and heart from a child, you train a puppy to use the pad, the paper, the pad, or whatever. And then when they get older, they let you know when they want to go outside. And you don't wait till a dog get older and they start getting arthritis. Now you want to train them or they got set in their ways. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's harder to do it. But as a people, how do we go about getting parents to understand that we are responsible for our children? Even if we need help, we got to learn how to ask for help. We got to learn how to open our mouth and say, I don't know what I need to do because this isn't working. If they're doing wrong, we have to be able to open our mouths and say, you know what, I got you. I'm going to protect you, but right or wrong, you're going to have to face the consequences of your actions. So we have to get to that point. And I'm just, as a mother, an auntie, a cousin, a friend, a neighbor, I'm trying to figure out what can we do. We have to make this individual. What can we do individually to help our children understand that this law that's coming up and coming upon them, they're not going to catch themselves getting out of stuff freely. They're either going to be jail or hell. I mean, and that's it, because we got to get them back to knowing that prayer covers a multitude of sin, that prayer is our only answer, our resource, and our source. How do we get that going? Because like you said, Father Flager and all of them come in, but when you got kids in an institution, they still got to survive in that institution when Father Flager and all the rest of them leave. They still got to deal with the what's going on and with that surrounding. What happened? Are they still have programs that the children can go to school? Or are they pushing them to go to school? Are they making them go to school or saying, oh, if they don't want to go, they don't have to go? What is it for that being on the inside of an institutionalized system?
So at the juvenile detention system in Chicago, they have a lot of little programs. And they have a barbering program that if you're there long enough, and a couple of them have, well, a lot of them have been there long enough, you get your barbering license.
Oh, wow.
They have a program. They have a painting program. But you have to get on, like, level 4, which is our highest level, which means you're a trusted resident. We still watch you, but you're trusted to go out and listen to these people that we have come in. They have a real licensed barber that works there with them. They've cut some of the staff hair, or they'll practice on each other. They take the real barber exam and have a license at the end. So I think one of the solutions, because I know Celia was saying we need to focus on solutions. I definitely agree. I think, like what I said about the church, being here in Miami, it's a really big Jewish community. And I've learned a lot about, like, just how they come together and do stuff. And their temple, or their church structure, you know, they call it temple, it's so different. I really like it. It's they're not just going there, you know, preaching, and they do the Sunday school and pray and sing, and, you know, then it's over. No. They have financial literacy courses that they teach with the kids. Like, they have them broke down in age groups, teaching them about stocks, all types of stuff, mutual funds. So, you know, we'd be like, you know, dang, how do white kids know this stuff? They parents not just sitting at home with them and teaching. The church also has these classes for them. Like, on a Wednesday, we might have Bible study. These folks might have a women and a men's class showing women have to do whatever woman thing. You know, because some women don't know how to take care of themselves now. You know, in Chicago, I can't tell the grandmamas from the mamas and the daughters from the, everybody got green and pink wigs on. You know, it's just crazy. So the men have their classes there. It is. They have internships there. That so, you know, you do. They do have other Jewish people that are successful. We have other Black people that are successful. They see, can they get these kids internships in the things that they want to do? They save up money for, you know, like a pad and stuff that the church does every year. I think the kids might have to be, I know at one temple, I think they might have been like 15 or 16, or maybe in their junior year. I'm not sure, but I know over the summer. With the tab money they save, like some of course they don't take all of it, they get to take those kids to Jerusalem to pay homage to their holy land. Like, there's no way the Black church cannot, we have, like I said, we have so many Black churches in our community. It's a church on every corner. Those are resources. And for the community to look the way it does, and I know Black people be padding, it's no excuse. Like, we got to do more than just pray and march. You have to do more than that. These other people are not doing that in these churches. They not telling me, these Jewish people not telling these people that you're going to get your mansion when you die. You know what I'm saying? They like, you're going to get your stuff now, and this is how you do it, and we got to come together as a community. You can't be out here acting no fool. Like, I seriously been, I even, like, watch some stuff online to see, like, what they teach each other and all of that. And it's pretty cool. And I'm like, dang, like, if they talk, like, their temples are the basis of their community, like, as far as the structure. You can't, like, the church really means something there because it's a resource for so much stuff, like the food drive. You know, they're not giving out canned goods and, you know, powdered eggs. These people giving out fish and chicken and turkeys and salmon and all, you know, all type of stuff. Like, they have real food banks. They are really taking care of their people and their community. So when I hear Black people say, well, you know, they out there killing and stuff because they ain't got no food at home. It's a church on every corner. Why are people hungry? As much as Black people say, why?
It's
like those
that.
Are resources to me. The church is a resource, and it needs to be, we need to be asking, okay, hello, we need to do something more than coming here and just be singing and praying on Sunday.
So you saying that we need to invest more in programs with our in our church that will cause us to teach the children as they're growing up. Well, you can have different programs on different nights, teaching about stocks and bonds, teaching how to learn about this or learn about that. So it all goes back to starting at home. It all goes back to the interest of putting out there that there's a way around getting from point A to point Z, because we can't say from A to B no more. We got to go from A to Z. We got to have a program
mm-hmm.
set up for the children. You know, I heard you talk about a juvenile center. They could come up with programs where they could leave out of there as a barber. Is there programs for girls to be leave up out of there as a hairstylist or a nail tech or maybe a phlebotomist or something? Is there programs for girls that and the juvenile can help them turn their life around?
Yeah, so actually the girls, they joined the barbering program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they could join the same stuff. You know, it's not sexist at all. So a lot of times the girls have left out of there with their barbering license. But, no, they don't have, like, a cosmetology thing or a nail, you know, tech thing in there. But, like I said, the stuff that they do have, the girls can't join it, but those resources are behind the wall. You don't want your kids to have to come there to get trained in anything.
I understand that, but I'm saying because of the program of what we're talking about tonight, for those that are in there, I hope we have some viewers that's doing live as well as and that's going to look at the replay and listen to it in the archives on Blog Talk. If they have someone in there to let them know that it's possible that they can get information. Like now I have my cousin George Smith that's on my live that says he would like to join me on the camera. George, are you willing to come on the air to help with some feedback with what can we do far as our community, or are you just on the air? I just want to know to George Smith Jr. Put in yes if you want to come on or no. So I want to say this before we get too far off. Our foundational scripture for this program is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what we're trying to add on tonight is a way of us trying to get our community to go into a different place, to go into a different level, because if we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't look out for one another, if we don't try to come up with a solution, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Because one thing it is, we have our own language. You know, I was looking at the crossword the other day with Kiki doing the crossword, and she was teamed up with this other African-American lady, and they was looking at each other, and they was like, you know, we have different looks that means different things. And, you know, and that's what I'm saying. We know how to communicate without words. We know how to do a lot of things. But when are we going to come together as a community that looks out for one another? It doesn't matter if you are highly, highly educated, or you some kind of educated, or you have no kind of education far as degrees. It's something that you know can help somebody along the way. Everybody don't have to cook everything in a microwave. I have a sister that been in the military so long, she would be able to show us how to live off the land if it had to be possible. I mean, it's ways to do things, but we as a people got to come back to the natural things of life. And what's natural to us is prayer. We have to learn how to go back to what we know. We have to learn how to pray and ask the leaders in our church, can we come up with a program? Is there something that we can do to get through to the children, not just the young children, but the young adults? Anybody younger than me are considered a child to me, because I wasn't always the age I am now. I was once a child, but somebody reached down and reached back for me. But the best part about that, I had to be willing. We have to pray that our people become willing. Alex, I'm going to ask you if you would join me again when I come back on the air in about 2 weeks on a Friday, so we can continue this thing. We would probably go more in depth into conversation and with trying to find solutions, because if they're going to start in Chicago and you are from Chicago, I'm still in Chicago, we're going to try to get a hold to some people and some information to help get out here to the people. And if anybody have any suggestions or comments, can you please inbox them to me, or write it on Facebook that we can answer it whenever we're on the program. I want to know if there's anyone on Blog Talk that's listening in, have any comments or suggestions at this time. If you do, please go ahead, because the lines are open. Please speak at this time. Well, I don't know if anybody on Blog Talk has any questions. As we see the Facebook.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
This is Cecilia. I agree with everything that you all were saying. I know for sure that our cousin George would also be another great guest, because he's been doing things at Cook County and in the community for a long time.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of, as we already heard, Alexander, who has degrees herself and experience, he does as well. And so they're available to be those examples, like the Judge Mathis and the NFL players and the boxers who've done great things, and even the youth employment program that you and I grew up under. Because remember, we were fitting the stereotype, per se. We should have never made it out of the hood, per se. But we had the neighborhood man who, he poured into us. He didn't know us, but he poured into us, and he got us jobs with a youth employment plan. And he did things where, as Alexander gave an example of, that showed us how to get out of the stereotype. Showed us how to do things, but like she said, not everybody wanted to do that. When I had a chance to go to Venus and out of the country as a young kid, just to sing opera, I mean, who's singing opera in the hood? Well, I was. So it's, the stuff is there, but as she said, it starts at home. We had parents that took accountability, but they also empowered our neighborhood, the Miss Franklin, the Miss Wilson, the Miss Powell, the Mr. Shepard. All of those, the people in the neighborhood could whoop us just like our parents could. It doesn't mean that there weren't people who were there, pedophiles and things of that sort, but our parents didn't want us to have an entitlement mentality, but they also didn't want us to think that we had this church come to the neighborhood. We fought to go to school. Some people dropped out. They didn't want to fight, or they joined a gang. You know, I got beat up by 11 boys for nothing. So we did not experience what a lot of people have experienced, but we still have to look at three strikes and you're out. They took three strikes and you're out, the three strikes rule, and they pimped it. They used it to imprison more minorities. Now, this SAFE Act and law and things that are coming out, it's a group of laws together that if they're not properly taken care of, we will notice that once again, the minorities that are already struggling will be the ones that don't get the policing, that don't get what's needed because they'll protect the people with the money, et cetera, et cetera. So we can't act like there's not an imbalance because the imbalance has been there ever since the Ku Klux Klan saw that they could get us to kill ourselves instead of them killing us. That's all I have right now.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Is there anyone else at this time would like to speak? Thank everybody for taking the time out, looking at us live and viewing the conversation on Blog Talk, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. This is a subject that was touched my heart as well as it touched Apostle Lex Cecilia's heart and it touched my niece Alexandra's heart. And we came on to put this information out there because we know that we all say we want solutions. We all say we want help. We all say, what can we do? But are we really willing to be a part of the solution or keep trying to video everything and put it on TikTok or Facebook? We shouldn't put stuff on there because I put stuff on there. But when there's a need, great like this. When there's a need in the land, again, we know that God would heal the land if we turn from our wicked ways. We know that we destroy for the lack of knowledge. But when are we going to pull ourselves up? When are we going to take responsibilities? If you, you know, Apostle Elect says, and then I hear other people say, if you see something, say something. When you know a child is hungry, cold, doing without, don't just try to use it as a way to manipulate a person. Be a blessing, a true blessing. Be available and be available on purpose. If you don't want to be even acknowledged, but you just want to be a blessing, do it in incognito. It's a way to do things. You know, I like the little skits I see on Facebook where people are in the store shopping and somebody just walks up and pay for their grocery or, you know, tell them they're going to pay for it. Whether they sneak and do it or they do it. It's called pay it forward. And it's the reaction is pray it forward. So we as a people have to get to the point, as Alexander said earlier, it's not about the pink, green, gray, and purple wigs. When we run out of money that we can't buy no more eyelashes or the glue or the lace front or the silk front because it's in woe is whole back and front and sides out, what do we do? What do we do, people? When are we going to say enough is enough? When are we going to be in a place and a mindset that we said, God, We need you, and we need you for real. And we're going to stand on it. And don't just need him because you're trying to get another pair of red bottoms or you took some shoes and painted the bottom red, whatever. We got to get into a place where we have to be serious about our community, because if it don't affect you now, it will affect you later, sooner or later. Because it was one time, I was, like I say, I wasn't always this age. I was old, younger, and I had became older as I grew old. So don't just think that it's not going to be your turn. It's going to be your turn. And what generation is going to come up behind you? Let's not look forward to living in the matrix. Okay, so with that being said, Alexander, do you have anything you would like to say before we end the program?
Yeah, real quick, I want to speak to what you said about the social media or whatever. I think that's really being, I mean, I like it because we get to do what we're doing now, and there are a lot of good messages that are spread, you know, through social media, but it's also being used to people's, like, detriment. Like, for instance, in Chicago, we have the drill rap. Like, that's something that's right out of Chicago that recreated. And when you go on YouTube, you know, you have those drill videos, and it's nothing but teenage boys with tons of guns. I'm talking about, like, heavy military, artillery type of guns, smoking, drugs, all type of stuff. I posted a video on YouTube some time ago about how a lot of the politicians was, like, forcing everybody to do the mask stuff for COVID. And then when I moved out here to Florida, those same politicians that get on the news up there was, like, forcing that and, like, you know, preaching all that stuff to y'all. They down here with their family, maskless, having a good old time with us. So I posted a video about that. They blocked it. They didn't even let it air or stay on my YouTube page. But you will let children make videos with guns and drugs, and you let it stay on there. And you know what's going on in Chicago. So that kind of right there, to me, that's it's a setup. But then, you know, we can point the finger and say the white man this and that. But then, like, who knows that they being set up and then continues to participate in their own setup? That stuff shouldn't even be allowed to be played on the radio up there. We know it drives them, you know, nuts. They go out there and kill people. And we know this. I have kids with juvenile center that would tell me they literally would get high, get drunk, turn on some drill music. They all get in the car. They'll ride around looking for their ops. And then, you know, if they find them, they'll gun them down and kill them. They even got to the point they've been gunning down the opposition, their gang members or whatever, on Facebook Live. Like, that's something that's been going on. So, it's so far gone with stuff. Like, social media play a huge, humongous part in it, because now people are doing everything. It used to just be for clout that you get on the street when you come outside on your block. Like, you want people in the neighborhood to be like, he the man. Now you getting, like, people from all over the world can follow you. Now it's more than the people on your block saying you the man. Now you worrying about how many followers you got. This person got 1 million followers. This person got 2 million followers. This person went viral. So, honestly, man, this rabbit hole runs so deep. I do think that it started with the church and the prayer, but like I said, I think that the church could really get more involved. It's so many of them. Some churches are sitting there just not even, I don't even know if they're abandoned or whatever. Those could be community centers. Like, I don't know, but I do know this. If kids have somewhere to go where they feel safe, where they can be fed, where they can be loved, where it's going to be other adults there with common sense that redirect them, put them in their place, kids will come. They will come. And I know because they have that here in Little Haiti at the community center that I work at, that I'm a manager over. They have that. And even when those kids don't have to come and we just there on the weekends doing paperwork, those kids will still come and just sit in there and look us in our face. Just because they know it's like a safe
haven. You know, because
so that's
I was looking at on the news this week when we have children at the innocent stage. I was seeing how excited the little girls were to see that the Little Mermaid was black. How they said she looks like you. she's brown, she's black. How excited they were that they were able to recognize somebody that looked like them. And not only that, they recognized somebody look like them in a respectful manner. I don't want anybody getting upset with me on anything, but before you go to throwing me down the stairs or out the back window, stop and think about it. How excited and how impressed those little girls was to see a black girl playing the mermaid. Even the ones that could barely talk, the little girl says she's brown. And I mean just the fact of joy, the hope in their eyes that they're saying, I have something I can look forward to being. I can be a princess. I can be this. I can be that. We have to get to the place where we are dream casters instead of dream killers. What happened to our children dreaming of being more than a video star? Help me, Lord. What happened to our boys dreaming of being more than on the top, you know, the top 10? I got to be the best dancer, the best, you know, had the hottest girl. As one guy say, the hot boy summer. What happened to young men wanting to wear suits and belts on their pants with the pants pulled up over their waist with some nice size dress shoes on, a jacket, you know, a suit? What happened? What, you know, what happened to women wanting to cover up their cleavage instead of going to the church or any place else they go with? It all goes, it all hangs, it all comes, it all shows. What happened? When you come into the house of the Lord and you're presenting something to the world, make sure they hear what they, besides, they, how should I say it? Make sure they hear what you're saying, but they can't hear, all they hear is blah, 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 because they're looking at your pants so tight they can see your camel toe or whatever they want to call it, or your dress so short, or your cleavage so deep, or the back part of your dress cut out so bad. Now, don't get me wrong. I used to wear stuff like that. But as I got older, when I learned better, I did better. But even then, I knew better because I knew what not to wear it and who not to wear it in front of. You play dumb if you want to. But the best part is when you tell on yourself. Until we get to the point of telling on ourselves, when we as parents expose ourselves to our children, you know what's in your child because you know what's in you. When you start telling them, you know what, I know what you're doing. I know why you're doing it. I see you. Because, see, it's hard for you to look in the mirror and see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I say your child is your mirror. Because I remember one time my son did something and a sister of mine said, aren't you going to whoop him? I said, why would I whoop myself? He did something that he don't even realize that's me. So what I did was I sat down and talked to him and say, nah, baby, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't say that because, see, this will lead to that and that will lead to this, and this is what you're going to end up doing. Until we start being responsible for our seed, because your child is a part of you, a part of the Father, and then they got their own part. And then they got the part of the world that they're trying to prove themselves to. Let's become one in the sight of God. One. So I hope everybody got something out of tonight's program. Hopefully Alexa, I keep saying Alexa, Alexis will have more time to spend with us on this subject. We could talk more about it, go more in depth with it. I want you all to understand this, that she said it was passionate to her. She really took a pleasure in being a part of this program on tonight. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about Apostle Elect had a very big part in this program on tonight. I want you all to know that this is Smile3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook Live. We will be here Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with our very own Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Margot McCore, Minister Brandon Kaiser. We will be back this Wednesday. I'm sorry, this Monday will be our Monday for Blog Talk at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If I'm not mistaken, our speaker is Minister Margo McCorr. We are going to hear what the woman of God has to say to us. And then next Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our very own Prophet Antoine Thomas. We're going to see what God has for him to speak and to us on next Friday. So please, take what you heard tonight, meditate on it, concentrate on it, start asking questions, help with the suggestions, help us help the people that will end up helping us help our community, because we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and a lot of it is because we did not open our mouth and try to find out. So I'm just going to pray real quick. Father God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for everything that was said. I thank you for every comment. I thank you for everyone that took time out to look at this now live, listen live, or come back and hear it later in the archives, whether it's Facebook or Blog Talk. God, let whatever goes into their ears stay. Whatever went into their heart, God, let it penetrate it and saturate it and be planted in their heart. God, let their mindset be changed, because this world needs us as well as this city of Chicago. God, we are in a place of, God, we have no other way. We can't do it. You said all things are possible with God, but with man, nothing is possible. God, we just thank you for our possibilities. We ask you to heal us. We ask you to keep us. God, we ask you to deliver us. We ask you to bless us. God, we ask you to put a glory, glory, glory down in our spirit, oh God. God, for we love you with our whole heart, and with our whole heart we love you. And I pray this thing is so, and so it is. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody. And thank you, Alexa, for being here. Thank you so much. Okay, good night, love.